All right, Rabosai, a good tavach, a good tavach. So wonderful. I think in the history of Daf Yomi, this might be our, I don't remember ever before giving Shira Matzei Shabbos. Maybe unless, of course, like Tisha B'Av fell out. I don't remember. I don't remember this. So this is very, very special. Feels like a little bit of a hamshach, of a continuation of the Kedusha of Shabbos, all of us together. I want to begin tonight by thanking our sponsors. To thank our sponsors for our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Frank and Debbie Spector, in deep gratitude to the entire Kehila. To thank Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating the Shiurim this week in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zechariah, his mother, Sarah Bas Avram, and great grandmother, Tziril Bas Reb Dov. The week of learning, dedicated by Jack Bennett in memory of Captain Doron Barashi, who served and died as a deputy commander in the 51st Battalion of the Golani Brigade. To thank Mordechai and Malki Tusk for dedicating the learning this week in honor of Brina's marriage to Aryeh Nirenberg this past Tuesday. In the merit of our learning, may they be showered with all of the Sheva Brachos and the merit Hashem, all of the Brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in his celestial storehouses. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Chasin and Kala, we'll have beautiful marital bliss, Ameva Esm Shalom Tovos, and the merit Hashem, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the Zechus of our starting out the week, Mamish, it just finished Havdalah literally 30 seconds ago, and it's such a beautiful, I know it's going to be a good week, when I go right from Havdalah to Zoom. Mamish, right from Havdalah to Zoom, it doesn't get better. This is Mamish, like Ben Kodesh L'chol. But it's great. It's so wonderful and such a schus to be able to begin the week with all of you. And I really want to thank Sayyid Haken because he's the one who really mentioned to me first on Erev Shabbos that we should do a Matzei Shabbos daf. So thanks to Sayyid, because Sayyid wants to make sure that at least I don't have one night free. Chas v'shalom, I should have one. There should be like a little bit of free time. Sayyid knows I get in trouble with free time, so. Yeshakach, see that. I will say with that, let us begin. Mamish, an incredibly beautiful Gemara today. Today's daf is Chaf Beis. Excuse me. Is Chaf Beis. We are picking up on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis 21b at the two dots. Above the two dots. Tana Rabbanan. Ner Chanukah Mitzah Anicha Pesach Beiso. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, about 18 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say beautiful Gemara. Tan Rabbanon. So here we go. Tan Rabbanon. Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Nicha Pesach Beis Mibachutz. The Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah is to go ahead and kindle it by your outside door, right? Literally, again, by the entranceway to your home, Mibachutz, but outside. Outside. So again, this of course is dramatically different than the way we observe Ner Chanukah. We'll discuss the evolution of the mitzvah in just a little bit. But this is the idea. You light Ner Chanukah at your doorway on the outside. What happens if you live, let's say, in an apartment building and you live on an upper story? So what's that halacha? In that case, you go ahead and you light it in the window facing the public domain. Remember, we'll say the underlying issue over here by Ner Chanukah is that Ner Chanukah has a din of persumei nisa, publicizing the miracle. That's the essence of Ner Chanukah. So we want to go ahead and light it in a way in which there is the greatest amount of publicity. What happens when there's sakana? So Rashi points out over here, what's sakana? So this is very interesting. Rashi understands sakana in a very limited way. So Rashi says that very often the Gentiles, or I should say the idolaters, had their own Yamin Tovim. And during their Yamin Tovim, you were only permitted to kindle a fire in their house of Avodah Zarah. And if you were to go ahead and kindle a fire outside of their house of Avodah Zarah, it was a very serious infraction. So we normally think about, the Rishonim globalizes. B'shas HaSakana means a time of anti-Semitism, a time where there's danger to go ahead and publicize your Judaism, publicize your Yiddishkeit. So what do you do if you can't light outside? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Manicha Ashulchan Avedayu. You place it on your table, which again, now table is Lav Dafka. What it means, what does the Gemara mean to say? You light it inside. You light it inside, and that is all you are obligated to do. So we'll say, this is just a moment on this. This is very interesting. which is that I have to remind myself that just because I don't have chakras coming up, I can't take your entire Matzi Shabbos. I'm going to try to be mindful of your time. But I just want to point out something very interesting here, which is that the way we go ahead and observe Ner Chanukah today is B'Shas HaSakana. That's what we do. So we light Ner Chanukah inside. We light Ner Chanukah inside. So what I want to just point out is something very interesting. Me'ikra Adin, when you light it inside, so the truth is you can light it wherever you want. You can light it on your kit, you can light it on your table, you can light it wherever you want. Interestingly enough, what we end up doing is we light it by a window. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you light it by a window, because this way, if you can go ahead and have a little bit of persume nisa also, matovu manoim, it's even better. But me'ikra din, let's say you don't have a window that faces the public domain. So halacha lemaisa, once you're lighting inside, you can light wherever you want. That's the halacha, manicho al shulchan abadayo, which I will say just from a longest perspective means that essentially in the time of sakana, the mitzvah of persume nisa, publicizing the miracle, shifts from the outside to the inside. So in under normal circumstances, the mitzvah persume nisa means that I have to publicize the miracle ultimately to the people on the outside. In a time of sakana, there's still a mitzvah persume nisa, but the persume nisa is not to the people outside, rather it's to the people inside the home. That's why halacha lemaisa, again, we spoke about the zman for halachas ner Chanukah, the zman azem, when we're lighting inside, what's the zman for ner Chanukah? How late can you light it? As long as there's someone up inside of your house, you can go ahead and light Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara goes on. Amar Rava, Tzarech Ner Acheres D'Shamish La'orar. So Rava says you require, it's not just enough to light the menorah, you need a shamish, right? You need another candle. Another candle that is there, so that this way, because you're not allowed to benefit from the light of the Ner Chanukah, we'll talk about this more. So we light an additional candle. This way, if one ends up going ahead and benefiting from some of the light, we attribute that benefit to the Shamus candle and not ultimately again to the Ner Chanukah. V'ika medura lo tzarach, but if you have a well-lit room, literally means if you have a bonfire, you have a well-lit room, so you don't need a Shamus. V'i adam chashifu, and if a person is very chashif, so he wouldn't normally go ahead and have a medura, have a bonfire lit in his home, afagav v'ika medura tzarach ner acheres. In that case, again, so an adam chashifu wouldn't normally use a bonfire anyway for light, he has to make sure to have another light source. And both say this also is halacha lemaisa, that, you know, although the paradigmatic, you know, meaningful way to light Ner Chanukah is everybody's assembled, the room is dark, you kindle the menorah, it's beautiful, it's fantastic and it's magnificent, just one little problem, it's usher, right? Because ultimately, again, under those circumstances, you're deriving direct benefit from the Ner Chanukah. So that's why we are very makpid to always have another light source. You light Ner Chanukah in a well-lit room, and even if the room is not well-lit, that's why we always have a shamish candle, right? We always have one additional candle, so any benefit that comes from the menorah, we attribute to the shamish candle and not to the menorah itself. Good. So the Gemara says it as follows. We'll say, here we go. My Chanukah. So what is Chanukah? Or as the Gemara is asking, so now where does this Yantav Chanukah come from? Tan Rabbanim Lechaf Lebi Kisev Yomi De Chanukah Tamnio. Starting the 25th of Kislev, there are 8 days of Chanukah. You can't eulogize. You can't fast on those days. Why not? Because when the Yavanim, when the Greeks walked into the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled all of the oil. And when the Chashmonaim defeated the Syrian Greeks, they only found one cruse, one little jug of oil that was untainted by the Yevamim. And what happened? It had the intact seal of the Kohen Gadol. And as we know the story, there was only enough oil in that little cruse to remain lit for one day. And what happened? And what happens? A miracle occurred. And the one little jug of oil that should only remain lit for one day remains lit for 8 days. L'shana acharis, in a subsequent year, kavum ba'asum yamim tovim b'halav oda. In a subsequent year, ultimately, they went ahead and they established these days for halal and hodah. So the Sfasem Sdegei Rebbe points out something very interesting. Chanukah was not established as a Yom Tov year one. You would have thought that immediately after the miracle of the oil, they would declare it a Yom Tov, but in fact, that's not what happened. They didn't actually declare Chanukah Yom Tov until a subsequent year. So the Sassanis explains that's because there was so much rampant assimilation that to go ahead and make a new Yom Tov in year one when the ranks of the Jews were so profoundly depleted would have looked foolish. So they knew there was a miracle, and they knew there was cause for a yomtiv, but they did not establish it as a yomtiv until some later year. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, interesting idea. Tanan Hasam. So what's we learned in the Mishnah? Get hayotzi mitachas hapatish v'yotza v'hezik chayiv. Interesting case. Let's say I'm hammering something. So this works best, like if you're hammering metal. Let's say I'm hammering metal, and as I'm hammering metal, a spark flies out of the metal. A spark flies out. And as a result, that spark starts a fire elsewhere. So what's the halacha? Chayiv. I, the hammerer, right? I, the guy who created the spark, am chayiv for the fire that the spark creates. Similarly, listen to this case. Let's say Reuven's leading his camel. His camel is holding a bundle of flax. The flax extends. So let's say the length of the flax is resting on the, the width of the flax is resting on the length of the camel. So the flax is extending outwards. The Bala Gamal is leading his camel. The flax extends into one of the stores and is ignited inside of the store. The flax then causes a fire somewhere else. Who's chayiv for the fire? The Bala Gamal, the owner of the camel, right? Because he was negligent with how he went ahead and led his camel. So he's going to be chayiv. Watch this. But if the chen v'ni left a fire outside of his store, so remember in the first case, is the flax extended into the chen v'ni store? Well, the flax has no right to be there. Therefore, if the flax is ignited and starts a fire somewhere else, the bal hagamol is chayiv. But if the chen v'ni left his candle, left his fire outside, and as a result ignited the flax, in that case, the chen v'ni is chayiv. Rabbi Huda Omer b'ner Chanukah Pater. Rabbi Huda says that's only true with throughout the general year. But on Chanukah, the Chen V'ni is Pater. Why? Amar Avinu Zos Omeres, Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lahanicha B'soch Asara. Di Sagadaycha Lamala Me'asara, Le'malei Havile L'cha Lahanicha Lamala Me'kam Avaroch Vo. So Ravina says, you see from here two things. First of all, you see from here that you're lighting the candle on the outside. So there was the truth is, that already we saw before, that you're lighting the Hanukkah candles on the outside, but you also see something very interesting, that you're supposed to light the candles within 10 tefachim, relatively low to the ground. Because if there wasn't the mitzvah to light the Ner Hanukkah within 10 tefachim, then the Baal HaGomel could say to the Chen V'ni, you should really be putting your fire way above camel reach. Right? If you put it way above camel. So the fact that the Baal HaGomel can't say that indicates to us, number one, that the Chen V'ni has every right. The mitzvah is to kindle the candle outside. And number two, to kindle the candle within 10 tefachim. To which the Gemara says, it's not such a good raya. V'dilma, imitra chalituva, asi le'imduim mitzvah. But there's another possibility. The other possibility is no. Maybe this is not a raya to that halacha. But maybe what's happening over here, we also listen to say, if you make things too difficult for people, at the end of the day, they are not going to do it. They're not going to do it. That's the way halacha works. That's how human nature works. So therefore, it could be over here that essentially we let the Chen V'ni pretty much put his Ner Chanukah wherever he wants. Because if you start legislating, you got to put it here, but not here, over here, but not here, he's not going to do it. Shabbos, you know, this has major ramifications even for so many of the halachas, of the kulas, the leniencies that we see coming out. You know, when this is all over, someone's going to write the Kuntres Corona, right? Which is going to have all of the incredible kulas, all the incredible halachic leniencies that are being espoused today. And a lot of that is just based on this idea that if you give people a way to do things normally and relatively easily, but if you don't expect them to do it. It's an Chazal understood human nature. People want to be good. People want to do the right thing. But if you make it too difficult, they're not going to do it. Okay, Rebbe says, so we know bottom line. So remember, we come out with a couple of pieces of halacha. Number one, Ner Chanukah ideally is kindled outside. Except ultimately, again, b'shas ha-sakana, diaspora practice has evolved like shas ha-sakana, so we light it inside. If you're lighting it outside, so you're lighting it by the doorway, we'll see further definition exactly what that is. You're lighting it by the doorway, and you are lighting it lemata miyud. Ideally, you want to light the Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground. So the Gemara goes like that. I'm Rav Kahana. If, however, although ideally we want you to light Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim, and I must remember again, 10 tefachim is a relatively small amount of space. 10 tefachim is you know really even less than 3 feet. Ideally, we want you to light near Chanukah within 3 feet of the ground. But Meikar Adin, if you lit it higher than that, you're Yotze. But you cannot light near Chanukah more than 20 amas off the ground. If you do it more than 20 amas, and I must remember again, an amma is a foot and a half. So 20 amas is like 30 feet. Right? Does that make sense? 20 amas is 30 feet? Yeah, good. Michael's shaking his head. I rely on Michael for all of my math. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, Mechavam psula kisuka ukemavoy. So ultimately, we're saying the same way that halacha is by sukkah and by mavoy. Mavoy we'll see in Erevin, but by sukkah we know, right? Everyone knows this Mishnah on sukkah, right? That the schach cannot be lamalo me eshim amma. Why? Because anything that is above 20 amos, the assumption is lo shalta ba'ina. It's out of ocular range. It's too high. A person doesn't see it. So since by Ner Chanukah, it's the whole thing is a din in pirsume nisa, right? The whole thing is publicizing the miracle. So ultimately, again, if it's too high, then halacha lamaisa, you're not going to end up seeing it. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Va'amra." So we'll say Chav Beizim with Aleph, second line. "Va'amra Kahana Darash Barav Nos Darash Rav Nosan Bar Minyum Yishreid Rav Tanchum May Dichseva Barik In B'Mayim." So we'll say, so once we went ahead and we quoted Rav Nosan Bar Minyumi, the Gemara just quotes another teaching of his, nothing to do with Chanukah, just same author. May Dichsev Va'Barik In B'Mayim. What's the meaning of a statement that says that the pit was empty? There was no water. Once you tell me that the pit is empty, I know there's no water in there. What is it coming to teach us? Rabbi said, this is by Yosef. When he's thrown by his brothers into the pit, so the Torah says the pit was empty, it had no water. Says the Gemara, Mayim Einbo. To teach us that the brothers threw Yosef into a pit that had no water, didn't have water, but unfortunately, again, it did have snakes and scorpions. Amar Rava, Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lahanicha b'tefach hasamach lepesach. So we'll say, so Ner Chanukah, again, this is going in the ideal form of lighting, where you're lighting outside. So where do you light it? You should light it within one tefach of the doorway. V'heichon manach leg. Okay, but which part of the door, where in the doorway should you place it? Ravacha b'reid Rava Amar Miyamin. Ravacha b'reid Yavin says you should place it on the right. And I will say, why right? Why right? Because right is always considered to be the dominant, more chashiv. So just when there's a default, we always default right. So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel midifti amar mismal. Rav Shmuel says, no, you light it on the left. Why? The hilchasam is small. The halacha both says that if you're lighting the menorah by your doorway, you're going to light it on the left. Kedei shetei ner chanukah mismal u'mezuzah miyamin. Both say a beautiful idea that we want a Jew when he walks into his home to be surrounded by mitzvahs. Therefore, again, if you could imagine the scene, the mezuzah is on the left, the menorah is on the right. The mezuzah is on the right, the menorah is on the left. So you walk in and you're surrounded by mitzvahs. And I will say that, of course, we know it's halacha lamaisa. Amar Rav Gamar Avasi, Asur lahartos mos kineged ner chanukah. Paul said that halacha is you're not allowed to go out and count money by the light of the menorah. And the Paul says, what's the logic there? Kind of this goes back to what we saw before, that ideally halacha lamaisa, one should not get any benefit from the ner chanukah. And therefore, halacha lamaisa, counting money by the light of the menorah is considered to be getting benefit. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel, when I said this in front of Shmuel, amrali, v'chi ner kidusha yeshba. But why? So Shmuel said, why is that? I understand. He'll say, the candles aren't holy. The candle, meaning, what? We'll say, you see, what this sounds like over here is almost like a din of mi'ilah. So remember, what's mi'ilah? Mi'ilah is if something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it has a consecrated status. If it has a consecrated status, he can't use it for something mundane. But a ner, the ner Chanukah, it's special, it's definitely used for a mitzvah, but mehechet is, why would you think that it has inherent kedusha, that it can't be used for something else? To which the Gemara says, chidam kedusha yesh bo, tell me, does blood have kedusha associated with it? Now what does that have to do with anything? Desanyo, v'shafach v'kisa, both say the mitzvah of kisa hadam. The mitzvah of kisa hadam is when you go ahead and you shecht chayis and ofos. So remember, a chayis is like a deer. A deer, contrast with behema, like a cow. So when you shecht chayos or ofos, fowl, the halacha is you have to cover up the blood. That is the mitzvah of kisei hadam. So the Gemara makes an interesting drasha. V'shafach v'kisa. You spill the blood, and you cover the blood. So the Gemara darshan is, b'ma she shafach yichase. With that which you spill the blood with, is that which you should cover the blood with, which means just like you spilled the blood with your hand, the shechita is done with your hand, so to kisui, covering the blood, should also be done with your hand. What does this come to exclude? Shelo yechasenu beregel, meaning you shouldn't kick the dirt on the blood. Fikisui hadam, shelo yemitzos bezuyo salav. This year, I will say what? Why? This way again, mitzos aren't, you're not treating mitzos in a degrading fashion. So if you were to go ahead and kick the dirt onto the blood, that would be degrading or mistreating the mitzvah. So in order to avoid that, we go ahead and so therefore the Gemara is positing over here. Hachanami, excuse me. I'm sorry. Shelo yihu mitzos bezuyos alav. So to over here, we don't want the mitzvah to be degraded. So the act of using the Ner Chanukah to count money is degrading the mitzvah. Good. So the Gemara is supposed to, and therefore, the halacha lemaisa, we know we paskin that way. In a little bit, well, let's see the rest. Ba'am name Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ma'al lehistapik minoy sukkah kol shiva. Are you allowed to get benefit from sukkah decorations throughout sukkahs? Supposed to say, we're talking about over here, let's say I went ahead and I used food as my decorations. So I'm sitting in the sukkah, I'd like a little snack. You know, we'll say it used to be people didn't hang plastic grapes, they used to hang real grapes. So now I'm sitting in my sukkah, I'd like a little snack to eat. Can I pluck off a grape from my decorations? So the Gemara says, Amr le hare amru, asra le hartzos mos kenegin ner chanukah. So you answer, well, the same way that you're not allowed to count money by the ner chanukah, what does that show you? That anything that is being used for a mitzvah, you can't use for any type of mundane use. Just like I can't count my money by the Ner Chanukah, because I can't use the Ner Chanukah for mundane purposes, so too what? I can't pluck off a grape from my sukkah decorations to eat it. So Rav Yosef is Mari Davram. So I say Mari Davram is like, oh my God, right? God of Abraham, by God of Abraham, right? This is an expression of frustration. It's not a good thing. So if anyone ever tells you, by God of Abraham, just know that they're probably upset with you. So Mari Davram, Tale Tanya, but the Lo Tanya. I don't understand. You're going ahead and you're literally, Tale Tanya, but Lo Tanya means you're giving the reason for something that is not stated, or that is stated based on something that is not stated. I'll explain this to you in just a moment. The Gemara says, how so? Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah Lo Tanya. Both remember, so the way this conversation plays out is totally counterintuitive. The Gemara says, are you permitted to go ahead and get benefit from your sukkah decorations over the course of Sukkis? To which the Gemara says, no. How do we know no? Because the same way that you can't get benefits from the light of your Hanukkah candles by counting your money, so too you can't go ahead and get benefit from the sukkah decorations. The Gemara says, that doesn't make any sense. There's a Mishnah that speaks about the prohibition to get benefit from sukkah decorations. Sukkah is not learned out from Chanukah. Sukkah is explicitly stated. Here we go. The Gemara says, Disanyo, Sichacha Kilchosa. If you went ahead and you made your sukkah appropriately, Ve'itra Bikram Besadin Mesiyarin, and you hung up beautiful curtains and embroidery, Ve'talaba, and you hung in your sukkah, Egozim, Afarsikim, Shkedim, Rimomnim, Parchili, Anovim, Ataro, Shalshibalim, Yeno, Shalshmanim, Visalzos, and it was used food. These were all different types of food. You used food to go ahead and decorate your sukkah. So I used food to decorate my sukkah. What's the halacha? Asher listapik mahen al matzei yom tov achron shel chag. You are not permitted to go out and get benefit from it until matzei shviyis. Until matzei, whatever it means, whether it means at the end of the last day of Sukkis or to the end of Shmini Atzeres. The point is, you can't get benefit from the decorations of your sukkah. V'mhistna alein hakol lafi tino. It's interestingly enough, however, if you go out and you made it tonight, which is very interesting, if when you hang up your sukkah decorations, you say, I'm hanging up these sukkah decorations, but with a condition. What's the condition? That if I get hungry, I could eat them. If you make such a condition, in fact, such a condition will work. Such a condition will actually work. Ella Amar Yosef says, you're right. Avu and the kuludam. The truth is, we'll say, where we learn this concept of bizui mitzvahs, of not degrading mitzvahs, is really from kisei hadam. That just like by kisei hadam, by covering the blood, we have this drasha of what? The shafach v'kisa. Which means just as you spill the blood with your hand, i.e. do shechita with your hand, you have to cover the blood with your hand. As opposed to what? as opposed to kicking the dirt on the blood. That teaches us the paradigmatic concept that when you should not be mevaze mitzvahs. You should not degrade mitzvahs. And from there, everything flows out. So eating your sukkah decorations on sukkahs is considered to be a degradation to the mitzvah. Counting out your money by the light of the Ner Chanukah is a degradation to the mitzvah. All of it learned from Kisei HaDan. I will say, just remember that drasha, the shafach, the kisa. With that which you spill the blood, i.e. your hand, is that which you cover the blood, i.e. your hand, and not kick the dirt on with your foot. Why not? Because again, teaching us a principle, one should not engage in a degrading fashion towards mitzvahs. Beautiful. Itmarav amar eman likimini adan. Rabbi says, incredible sugya. So Rabbi says, Rav says, you are not permitted to light one Hanukkah candle from the next. Ein madlikin miner lener. You cannot light from one ner Hanukkah to the other. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, madlikin, you are permitted to go ahead and light from one ner Hanukkah to the next. Good. Well, we'll see the scope of this. Rav Amar Imat here in Tzitzis Beged LeBeged. Similarly, Rav says, we'll say, let's say, look, watch this case. I have Tzitzis. And now it happens to be my beged, you know, the beged, you know, the beged that the tzitzis sits on. Maybe it gets a little fashvitzed or a little not so nice. But my tzitzis are great. So what I want to do, I want to take the tzitzis off one beged and tie it onto another one. Rav says, you can't do that. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Matirin, you can't do it. Matirin beged the beged. Rav Amar, furthermore, again, we're going to see three machloksim. Rav Amar, ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon begreira. Rav says that halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to the case of dragging a bench, we'll see that in just a moment, what that is. Ushmuel Amar, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon begreira. So we'll say, three machloksim. Machlokas number one, can you light one near Hanukkah from another? Rav says no, Shmuel says yes. Machlokas number two, can you take tzitzis from one beged and untie them from one beged tied to another? Rav says no, Shmuel says yes. Machlokas number three, Rav says the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon by dragging. We'll see what that case is in just a moment. And Shmuel says it does follow Rabbi Shimon. So it says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Komili Demar Ovid Kirav. So Rabbi says as follows. My Rebbe, Abaye's about his Rebbe was Rabba Bar Nachmani. My Rebbe always paskined like Rav. Lebar mehani tlasta avid kishmuel. With the exception of these three cases, where my Rebbe Rabbi Nachmani paskin like Shmuel, which therefore teaches us what? Number one, madliki miner lener. You can in fact light from one menorah, from one candle to the next. Gore at matirin mi beged lebeged. That halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to go ahead and tie tzitzis from one beged to the next. So by the way, both of these are halacha lemaisa. We'll see the parameters of it. But we're going to discuss that we paskin that you can light one ner Chanukah from another ner Chanukah. You can take tzitzis from one beged and tie it onto another beged. V'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon begreira. And the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon in the case of dragging. What's the case of dragging? This anyo, Rabbi Shimon omer, gorer adam mita, ki sevesav solo, b'vashle yishavim lasos kar. So let's listen to this. Here's the shayla. Can I drag a chair or a bench on Shabbos? When there is the possibility, not definitively, but the possibility that I'm going to make a furrow. Now, we'll say, you're not allowed to make a furrow on Shabbos. That's the malacha of choresh, the malacha of plowing. So the shayla is, can I drag my chair from point A to point B if there's the possibility? If it's definitely going to happen, that's called the psik resha. Everyone agrees you can't do it. But what happens if there's just a possibility that it'll happen? Not definitively, a possibility. So Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to do it. Why does Rabbi Shimon say you're allowed to do it? We're going to see this sugya later on, but for our purposes tonight on this Halakha Matzei Shabbos, so Rabbi Shimon says it's a darashin miskavin. It's something for which you do not have intention. And Rabbi Shimon says that you are permitted to do a darashin miskavin. You are permitted to go ahead and do something that may result in a malacha if you don't really want the malacha. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, I could drag my chair from point A to point B, even if there's a possibility that the furrow may occur. Why? Why? Because I don't want the furrow. What do I want? I want to get my chair from point A to point B. So therefore, again, Rav Paskins, we hold like Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, that's what Abaye said as well. So the Gemara says, Yosef Ahu, Rami Rabbana Kamei, Rav Adda Barava, the Yosef Vikamar, there was once a rabbi who was sitting in front of Rav Adda Barava, and he said as follows, Taimi Rav, but say, why does Rav say that you can't light one Ner Chanukah from another Ner Chanukah? Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. Rav felt that that is degrading to the mitzvah. It's degrading to light one candle, from another candle. He felt it's just not appropriate. Amar lohu, so to which Rav Adabar Ava said, Lo sasi too late, don't listen to that. Taimid Rav, Mishum de Kamachish Mitzvah. Rav's concern, or the reason why Rav says you can't light from one candle to another, is not because it's degrading. It's not degrading to light one candle to another. So remember again, what's considered to be mitzvah degradation? When you use the mitzvah for some unsanctified purpose. Like, if you use the Ner Chanukah to count money, that's degrading to the mitzvah. But to light one Ner Chanukah from another Ner Chanukah, that's mitzvah usage. So what's Rav's problem? What he calls Mishum, the Gemara said, Mishum the Machish Mitzvah. You're literally weakening the mitzvah. That it has the appearance that when you light one Ner Chanukah from another Ner Chanukah, what you're effectively doing is what? You're siphoning off oil from one candle to be used for a different candle, right? So that's the problem. That's what it looks like over here, says the Gemara. So we'll say, but bottom line, I mean, my bad, what's an afkamina? Or either way, we'll say, this is machlokis and Rav, right? Rav says, you can't kindle from one candle to another candle. We now have machlokis and why Rav holds that way. One says, bizui mitzvah, that's degrading. Second opinion says, no, it's machish. You're diminishing or weakening the mitzvah by giving the appearance that you're siphoning off oil from one candle to another. So my bet, what's an afkamina between these two approaches? De kamadlik mishraga la shraga. Oh, we'll say, watch this. You see, when we have this image of lighting one Ner Chanukah from another Ner Chanukah, what's the image? The image is, the image is that I'm, let's say, taking a match, igniting it from one Ner Chanukah, and then kindling a second Ner Chanukah. So that, I will say, so watch this. So the Gemara says, listen to this. So if you're doing that, So the nafkamina will be if you don't do that, and instead you light one ner directly from the other ner. So watch this. So I'll say, if you hold that the problem of kindling one candle from another is bizui, the only time there's a degradation is when, is if you light a chulin candle from the Ner Chanukah, and then use that to kindle another ner. That's bizui. Why is that called bizui? Because you are using something unholy, quote unquote, to draw fire from one Ner Chanukah. Granted, you're doing it in order to light another Ner Chanukah, but that's degrading. However, again, if halacha lemaisa, you're lighting one Ner Chanukah directly from another Ner Chanukah, there's no bizui. There's no degradation on that because everything that's happening over here is for mitzvah purposes. On the flip side, Madar Mishum Achushi Machish Mishraga L'Shraga Nami Yasser. Rabbi say, if you hold the issue of lighting one candle from another, is that you're diminishing candle number one to fuel candle number two? That applies even if you're lighting one candle from another. So Master Rav Avia raised the kasha. Sela Shel Amud Beis. Sela Shel Meiser Sheni. Rabbi say, so now watch this. Let's say you have a sela. Sela is a coin. We have Meiser Sheni money. Rabbi say, so just gonna say what's happening over here. Meiser Sheni is produce. Meiser Sheni is produce. And what's the halacha? You're supposed to take the produce and go ahead and eat it in Yerushalayim. Where does the challenge come up? The challenge comes up sometimes in a situation where I have too much produce or I live too far away from Yerushalayim. I don't want to take the produce, so what could I do? I could redeem the produce for money, transfer Meiser Sheni's sanctity onto money, and the produce itself becomes schooled and unconsecrated. Then I have to take that Meiser Sheni money, take it up to Yerushalayim, and spend it on food in Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara, watch this, Meiser Sheni ain't shoklin kinegdo dinari zav. Vafilu lechalal alav Meiser Sheni acher. So we'll say, now watch this. So what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says that if you have Meiser Sheni money, and Rabbo say you want to measure other coins against that Meiser Sheni money, and even if the other coins that you're measuring are because you want to use them to redeem Meiser Sheni, halacha lemaisa, you still can't do that. To which the Gemara says, "I amrit bishlama ki pligi Rav Shmuel miner lener." Say if you want to say the machlokes in Rav and Shmuel is even when you're kindling from one candle to another, aval bikinsa aser Shmuel. But ultimately, again, in a case where let's say you're taking a, Kinza's literally like a wood chip. If you're taking a wood chip, using that to light a fire from a Ner Chanukah, and then going in and kindling another Ner Chanukah, with that, even Shmuel would say that it's Aser, halo to have it to Yufta. Then ultimately, again, this case of Meister Sheni money will not be a refutation. Ela I amrit bekinsa nami shari. But if you say that Shmuel allows even the kindling of a wood chip from one Ner Chanukah to ignite another Ner Chanukah, ha to have it to Yufta. Ultimately, again, this case of the Meister Sheni would refute that. To which the Yomar's Amaraba, no. Gezerah Hashem alo yechavin mishkalosav v'kamapik luhu luchulin. But I said the concern over here is that what? Is that maybe the money that you're measuring against, the Meiser Sheni money, will not end up being used for Meiser Sheni redemption. And therefore what happens? It turns out that you've used the Meiser Sheni as a weight for chulin purposes. That's why Chazal don't want you doing that at all. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, that was a beautiful Gemara. Michutz laparoch es ha'idos yaroch. So the pasuk says, this is talking about the menorah, right? So we're talking about the menorah over here. So the pasuk says, michutz laparoch es ha'idos yaroch. Outside of the parochas. Remember again, the menorah was situated in the heichal, right? It was situated inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the curtain that divided between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So watch this. V'chila oru tzarech. Now I'll say now, at the end of the day, why did we need a menorah? Right? Why did we need a menorah? Did we need it for its light? We certainly didn't need a light. The Gemara says, V'halo kol arboim shana shalchu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. Lo holchu el la'oro. All 40 years that we spent in the desert, We did not need the light of the menorah, but rather again, we followed the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Eish, the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do we need the menorah? Ela edus hi labay olam, shashchina shora b'Yisrael. Rather, I will say the menorah, beautifully, the menorah was the edus, it was the testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in our midst. How was the menorah testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in our midst? Watch this. My Eidos. This is beautiful. Amarav. Zu ner ma'aravi. This refers to the westernmost, And now Rashi points out over here that there's an interesting machlokas just about how exactly the menorah was situated, how exactly it was oriented. We don't have to get into that tonight, but for our purposes, this was the westernmost light. What was unique about the westernmost lamp on the menorah? Shenosin b'shem and kemidas chavroseha. They put the same amount of oil in all of the lamps of the menorah. Umimena hayamadlik, uba haya mesayim. The Rabbi says, now, amazingly enough, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Umimena hayamadlik, haneros ben ha'arbayim. So I'll say, interestingly enough, so they would kindle the other candles of the menorah from the ner ma'aravi. Uba haya mesayim, hatavas. So we'll say there was a miracle with the westernmost lamp. It was the lamp that was lit first. They would kindle the other lamps of the menorah from the western lamp. And the miracle happened that even after all of the other lamps extinguished, the Ner Ma'aravi remained lit. The Ner Ma'aravi always remained lit. It was the ultimate testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resided in our midst. So we'll say to the point that Rashi points out that the next day when the Kohen would have to arrange the menorah, so what he would do is he would empty out the old wicks, clean out the receptacles, refill them with oil and new wicks. He would have to extinguish the Ner Ma'aravi. Isn't that beautiful? The westernmost lamp was still burning. It never went out. The Kohen had to extinguish it in order to relight it. So that was the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our midst. Now watch this. Now we'll say, remember, let's keep our eye on the ball. What are we talking about? We're talking about Madlikin Miner Lener. Ner Chanukah, can you light one Ner from another Ner? Rav says no, Shmuel says yes. Now watch this. V'ha'ahacha. Now let's talk about the Beis HaMikdash. Now both say, what did the Braisa just tell me? The Braisa just told me that all of the other wicks in the menorah were kindled from the Ner Ma'aravi. So the Kohen would light the Ner Ma'aravi, the westernmost lamp, first, and he would kindle all of the other Neros from the Ner Ma'aravi. So watch this. Says the Yimara, 1 second. V'ha'ahacha, kevan dekvi Neros. Lo sangya de la mashkil va'ad luke. Then I will say at the end of the day, so in order to do that, what would you have to do? See, I will say, remember, the lamps of the menorah are fixed. They're fixed in place. So halacha lemaisa, in order to light all of the other candles or all the other lamps, what would have to do? You'd have to be lighting some intermediary from the Ner Ma'aravi and using that to light everything else. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. V'ha'acha kevan tekvineros b'menorah b'loha yulavaloha yachal and not take Ner Ma'aravi mina menorah lahadlik ba'achirim al karche chadik taniyana hayamadlik lo sagi de lo mishkal kinsa. Shavuot say it must have been that. What? Listen to what the Gemara is suggesting. It must have been that the Kohen lit the Ner Ma'aravi. He lit the westernmost Ner, and then what happened? And then he went ahead. He lit something from that Ner, a twig, right, or a wood chip. He lit a wood chip from the Ner Ma'aravi, and then what? And then subsequently kindled the rest of the lamps from that wood chip. Incredible. So what do you see from here? It's dramatic. It's absolutely dramatic. It teaches you two things. Number one, madlikim minera l'ner, that you can light from one candle to another. But not only that, but what? But you could even use an intermediary, right? Meaning both say, the Gemara seems to have an easier time accepting madlikim minera l'ner when you're lighting one candle. So the easiest deal. So imagine both say, let's say you're a good Jew and you get your box of candles from the Telz Yeshiva every year, right? Telz Yeshiva sends you a box of Hanukkah candles. So what happens? Mamish, Dvarim Shebekdusha, you put your Hanukkah candles. So the easiest way to imagine Madliki Miner Lener is how you light candle number one, and then let's say afterwards you lift it up, you light candle number two, you light candle. So that's Madliki Miner Lener. But that only works, of course, if your fire is mobile. In the Beis HaMikdash, the fire was immobile. So what must have happened is, if you're telling me that they lit the other lamps from the Ner Ma'aravi, the only way for that to happen would have been, they lit the Ner Ma'aravi, then they took a wood chip, a chulin wood chip, lit from the Ner Ma'aravi, and then kindled subsequently on like that. To which the Imar said, 1 second, V'kashya, bein l'mandar mishum bizoy mitzvah, bein l'mandar mishum achushay mitzvah. And the truth is, that's problematic regardless. Whether you say, ein matlikim miner l'ner because of bizui, right? Because ultimately it's degrading. To light any non-sacred candle from the Ner Ma'aravi is a degradation to the mitzvah. And achushay, if the concern that it looks like you're drawing oil from one candle to go ahead and light another candle is also problematic. So how are they able to do this in the Mikdash? To which the Gemara says, very interesting, Tir Gemara Papa, bepsilos arukos. Interesting, interesting. In the Beis HaMikdash, they lit very long wicks. Very long wicks. So apparently what happened? Look at Rashi. Bepsilos arukos. Kola psilos yotos chutz l'nerosim. Ad shemagio zu lozu. Umadlik mimeno asmuchalo. Vashaar zu mizu. Both say, so watch this. Incredible. So what would they do? Each candle had a long wick. So lit the Ner Ma'aravi. And what happened? The Ner Ma'aravi lit the candle next to it. Then the candle next to it lit the one next to it, and so on and so forth. But everything, and it started from the Ner Ma'aravi. So in fact, again, it was Madlikin Miner Lener, but without any type of intermediary. One candle was lit from the next one. Says the Gemara, Sof, Lamandar Mishum Achushe Mitzakashya. But 1 second, Rabbi will say, according to the opinion, or according to the approach that Rav said, Ein Madlikin Miner Lener, why? Because it looks like you're diminishing the oil source from one Ner to feed another Ner, even though they're lighting from one wick to another, that's still problematic. It still looks like, we'll say, what does it still look like? It still looks like you're siphoning off A in order to feed B, and that's not good. To which the Gemara says, Kasha. You're right, it's a good Kasha. To which the Gemara says, My Havi Allah. But you know, this is such an incredible Musar. On one hand, the Gemara says, Kasha, right? So the Gemara says on one hand that it's a problem, right? It's a good Kasha. And then what does it say after? It's my Havi Allah. So nu, what's the halacha? Which will say such a paradigm for life. You know, sometimes if you have a Kasha, it's difficult. It's difficult. I don't know the answer. So what do you do when you encounter a difficulty? My Havi Allah. Tachlis, what are we going to do? Meaning you have a choice. In life, you could remain in a state of Kasha. Okay, it's a question. I have no answer. That's it. You know, but what do they say? What's the lashon? Take your bat and your ball and your glove and go home, and that's it. The Gemara says, no. In life, when you run into a kasha, when you run into a difficulty, the next words are, my havi Allah. How do I solve the difficulty? There's no such thing in life as allowing yourself to get sidelined by a kasha, to get sidelined by a difficulty, to allow the challenges of life to somehow render you inactive and inert. The moment in life you face kasha, your next words are, my havi Allah. What do I need to do in order to move myself forward? So my Haviyalo, to which, you know, what's the answer? So I'm Rav, when I bring Rav Yoshua, Chazino, Ehad Laka Osa Mitzvah, Madli Kiminer Liner. So we'll say, watch this. This is actually quite fascinating. So Rav Yoshua says, the truth is, the answer to this is really rooted in another machlokes. What's the other machlokes that this is rooted in, Rav Hosein? Do we say hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah? So watch this. What is it exactly which affects the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it the kindling that creates the mitzvah? Or the placement of the menorah down in its designated spot? So watch this. So ihad laka osa mitzvah. If you say it's the kindling that creates the mitzvah, then madliki miner l'ner. Then halacha l'maisa, one would be permitted to go ahead and light from one candle to another. Rashi says ihad laka osa mitzvah. Ya mitzvah shachanukah tliya b'hadlaka madlikin ki de'ashkicham menorah. So we'll say, if you say hadlaka osa mitzvah, it's the act of kindling. So remember again, that means once you kindle the candle, the mitzvah's done. The mitzvah is done. You fulfilled your mitzvah. Therefore, again, I could kindle another candle from that candle. However, if you hold v'hanacha osa mitzvah, but if you say it's the placement of the menorah which affects the mitzvah, ein madlikin miner l'ner, then under those circumstances, halacha l'maisa, ultimately, again, you would not be permitted to light from one candle to the next. Di bailuhu, because the Bosei, the Gemara asked this shayla, hadlaka osa mitzvah? Oh, hanacha osa mitzvah. Rabbi said, this is a yesodistic fundamental shayla. What is it that impacts or that affects the chalos ner Chanukah? What is it that ultimately affects the mitzvah? Is it the kindling or is it ultimately the placement? To which the Gemara says, Tashma damarava hayatafos ner Chanukah va'omeh lo asa v'lo klum. That was pretty explicit. Rabbi says, if you're standing there holding your ner Chanukah, just standing around, holding your Ner Chanukah, you have not done anything. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Shema mina, hanacha osa mitzvah. What do you see from there? You see from there that halacha l'maisa must be the placement of the menorah that affects the mitzvah. So that's if you haven't placed it down, you haven't affected the mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam haro omer letzarcha hu dinakit le. It's different there. We'll say why? Because in that case, when you're holding a menorah, what does that look like? Well, I mean, today it would look like a lot of different things, but Lamaisa, when they were holding their menorah, so what were they doing? It looks like you're holding just your own torch, your own lantern, right? You're holding for your own light source. To which the Gemara says, Tashma damarava, hedlika bifneim v'hotzio, lo asa v'lo klom. What's that, locha? If you kindled your menorah inside the house, and then you took it outside, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. So watch this. What do you see from here? So this makes sense if you say it's the kindling that affects the mitzvah. So therefore, hadlaka bimkoma ba'inon. Mishumhachi lo asa v'lo klum. So both say, why does that make sense? If you say hadlaka osa mitzvah, that means the menorah must, at the time of the hadlaka, the menorah must be in the place where it needs to be kindled. So if you light it inside and then you bring it outside, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Ala I amrit hanacha osa mitzvah. Amaylo asa v'lo klum. But if halacha l'maisa, you see hanacha osa mitzvah, it's the place of the menorah, so who cares? Even if you kindle it inside but take it outside, that's okay. As long as you ultimately place it down outside for the intention of Ner Chanukah, you fulfilled your mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, Hasam nami haroeh hu omer letzarcha hu da'adlaka. Ultimately, again, the difference over there, I will say, is that what? If you're, any time you light something inside and take it out, a person may think you're not doing this for Ner Chanukah, or rather you're doing it for yourself. So I will say, we'll stop over here for today, but let me just close up a few loose ends. So we're ending here, for the moment, in the sugya of hadlaka, o hanacha osa mitzvah. What is it that affects the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it the act of kindling? Or is it the placement down? The simplest nafkamina rosa between that is, can you light the menorah in one place and then move it and set it down somewhere else? If you hold hanach osim, it's a sure, no problem. If you hold hadlak osim, so that means the menorah must be kindled in the place where it's going to stay. And if you move it around, you're not yotze. But let's go back for just a second. Remember, we got into this with madlike ner l'ner, in madlike miner l'ner. So what's the halacha, right? Can you light the ner Chanukah from one ner Chanukah or not? Rav says no. Shmuel says that. Rabbi says Shulchan Aruch paskins madlikin miner l'ner. You are permitted to light one ner Chanukah from another Ner Chanukah. But there is a very important caveat. What's the caveat? You could only light one Ner directly from the other Ner. So for example, that's why this works best with Chanukah candles, not so much with oil. So if you're using Chanukah candles, you light candle number one, you could light candle number two, or you could actually, really better, is you take candle number one, and you could use it to light candle number two. The halacha is you are permitted to do that. What can't you do? You can't take another candle, which is not an Ner Chanukah, and light from that candle number one, and ignite that with candle number one, and then use it for candle number two. So we paskin, like Shmuel, of Madlikin Miner Lener, you can do that, but only directly from one Ner Chanukah to another Ner Chanukah. Shkach HaVoseh, we'll stop over here. Gut Tavach. Just a reminder, schedule for tomorrow morning. Shachris is at 7:15, followed by the Daf approximately at 8 a.m. It has been, I know it's going to be a great week. Such a schus to be able to begin it with all of you. Mamish, you are the people I'm spending the first moments of my brand new week with. You and my Gemara. I have my Chavirim. I have my Gemara. My Mishpach, I think, is somewhere still over here. Everything a person needs in life right now. Well, say it should be a beautiful week of Gut Tavach. See everybody tomorrow morning.